Amen. It's definitely an honor to get to speak to you tonight. I was talking to a pastor when he asked me to speak tonight, and I said, well, maybe I'll get Zeke to come up and recite scripture tonight. And he said, well, maybe that won't work. So he suggested I had him come up and sing a song, but we might wait on that a little bit too. If you'll grab your Bibles tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. If you'll stand for the reading of the Word tonight. Verse 22 says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Pray with me and for me tonight. Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have to come into your house. Lord, I thank you that you've given me this opportunity to speak tonight. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, anoint my words. Lord, let me say just what you would have me to say. Lord, for your glory. Lord, and I pray that someone's life would be touched for eternity tonight. Lord, we ask in the precious holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I'd like to start off tonight with a little illustration. Brother Ryan, would you be able to help me tonight? Yeah, if you'd come up here for a sec. You can see where Brother Raleigh's sitting back there, right? All right. Could you just watch him? Raleigh, would you move to the first place I told you to move to tonight? All right, Brother Ryan, can you tell me where Raleigh's sitting?
He's sitting in the middle row right in front of me.
All right. Now, I need you to do something else for me. I'm gonna lay my phone right there. I want you to watch my phone. Just turn around and watch my phone. Raleigh, would you move to the second place we discussed? All right, now, Brother Ryan, without taking your eyes off my phone there, can you tell me where Raleigh's sitting?
No, but I see that phone still sitting there.
Why can't you tell me where Raleigh's sitting?
Well, I've been watching the phone right there. It hasn't moved.
But Raleigh moved. You don't know where he's sitting?
Oh, he did? No. I don't know.
Thank you. When Brother Ryan was watching Raleigh, he could tell me exactly where he moved to. But when he focused on something else, he couldn't tell me. Raleigh could have left the building and Ryan wouldn't have even known. He could have been standing right behind him. Ryan wouldn't have known. He was watching my phone. Don't worry, I'm not preaching on phones tonight. I'd like to actually look at Luke chapter 15. This is the story of the prodigal son. Just want to talk to you for just a little bit on which way are you looking. In chapter 15, there are several parables in there. This one is the third one. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Now, We don't know a lot about that son. We don't really have any background on him. It starts out that the man had two sons, and the one decided to ask for his inheritance. So we don't know, you know, was he content? Did he feel at home in his home? Did he respect his father? Did he think that he knew more than his father to ask for his inheritance, that he could do better with the money than his father was at the time, that he could better himself in some way? Obviously, we'll see later on that they had animals, that they were caring for them, that they should have been prospering. But he was looking to leave. And I think before he ever went to his father, he had his mind somewhere else, Brother Aaron. You know, I don't know if everybody's like this or if it's just my nature, but if I get ready to ask my parents something or someone in authority something, I think it over. I go over it in my head over and over and over and over, sometimes way too much, but I go over it before I go to him and ask him, figure out exactly how I'm going to ask and what my reason's going to be if they question what I'm asking for, because I want to know what I'm talking about before I ask. And I think that was the same with him. He had been having his eye on what he was going to do when he got that inheritance. Yeah, how he was going to live, where he was going to go. He was planning it out. He was looking somewhere before he ever asked. Maybe he had it all planned out. It sounded really good in his mind what he was going to do. But maybe he was just distracted. Maybe he didn't have it planned out so well. He knew he wanted to get out of there and he wanted to do something. He was distracted by something in that far country. And that's true in our lives. We play the part, but we get distracted. You know, we say, well, you know, I'm giving my all to God, and I'm going to church, and I'm getting in, but our mind can be somewhere else. You know, we can be sitting on the pew, and our mind's somewhere else. You can be thinking, you know, Sunday night, you're thinking about, well, maybe we're going to go to McDonald's afterwards, and what am I going to eat when I get there, or maybe there's a new cell phone I'm going to get, you know, or did mine vibrate? Should I check it? No, maybe not. Maybe I should pay attention. Just life in general, it distracts us. We've got school and we've got work. And the young people aren't here tonight, but they can get distracted. You know, there's that cute boy or cute girl or youth camps coming up, and that's a good thing to be focused on. But if we're sitting in church and we're thinking about those other things, we're not thinking about church. We're not thinking about God. We've got those other things on our mind. Which way are we looking? What's our main priority? Is it God or is it these other things? You know, is it work? Is it school? Is it money? You know, I said I wasn't going to preach on phones, but they can distract us too. So, I mean, I've seen people sit in church and just text and play and look at pictures and you're on Facebook and all those things are okay in their own sense. But when we're supposed to be focusing on God, that's not what we need to be doing. Next, you know, looking the wrong way, it leads to destruction. Verse 14, it says, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and that citizen sent him in the fields to feed swine. Verse 16 says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. He was hungry. You know, I think we've all been there. You know, we do something, we got this grand idea, and you know, we look back and we say, man, that looked like a good idea at the time, but why'd I do that? I think that's the situation that he found himself in. You know, he had this fortune. I mean, I don't know how big of an inheritance he got. He was the younger son, so he would have gotten less than the elder son got, but obviously it was enough for him to leave home and feel comfortable doing that. But it was gone. He had wasted it. Doing the things that brought him pleasure, the things that fulfilled his immediate desires, it was gone, and he was hungry. It says he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And the way that's worded, it makes me think that it's not your normal sense of employment. He owed that man something. Maybe that man had provided something for him, provided food for him, provided money for him. But he was indebted to the citizen of the country. He was desperate. And it says that citizen sent him into his fields to feed swine. And as a Jew, that, you know, swine were forbidden. You weren't to keep swine. So he's in this country. He's in a foreign place, working for somebody he doesn't know, feeding swine that are forbidden to him. This is some of the lowliest work he could find. His poor decisions had left him in destruction. Now, I don't know if any of you have been around pigs, but they're kind of nasty. They're not the cleanest of creatures. They eat almost anything, and they love slop. You take about anything that you don't want to eat, you mix that all together, it gets kind of rotten and nasty, add a little water to it, make it nice and sloppy, and you pour it out for them. And they think they've got a buffet. Verse 16 said, you know, he was so hungry, he wanted to eat the husks that the pigs were eating. And the word husk here, you know, a husk isn't grain. It's, if you get an ear of corn, the husk is what you peel off before you eat it. So it's not even anything good. It's not anything nutritious. But he's looking at that and saying, man, that looks good. And probably at that time it wasn't corn. It was probably the pod of some kind of bean or the pod of the carob tree, which it's a common food for swine in the area. But whatever it was, it wasn't something that a normal guy is going to go out and say, oh man, that looks pretty good. He was really, really hungry. It says, no man gave unto him. And the way that implies, you know, it wasn't that no man would give him food, period. He wasn't even allowed to eat the slop. He wasn't allowed to eat the husks that the pigs were eating. He was given this ration that he was supposed to go out and feed the pigs. That was for the pigs. And he couldn't even have any. It's a sad situation. Then he realizes something. He needs to... He's not looking in the right place. The next point I want to make is that we need to look to the Father. Now, as I was preparing for this tonight, it's a contemporary song on Christian radio kept coming to me in my mind, and it's called "Fix My Eyes," and it talks about the mistakes the singer has made in his life and what he'd do differently if he could. And the chorus, it says, this is the list of things that he would do differently. It says, love like I'm not scared, Give when it's not fair. Live life for another. Take time for a brother. Fight for the weak ones. Speak out for freedom. Find faith in the battle. Stand tall. But above it all, fix my eyes on you. And, you know, he makes that list and then he says, fix my eyes on you. But I think fix my eyes on you needs to come first. It's when we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, all those other things happen. He's going to take away the fear. He's going to make it okay when we have to do things that's not fair. He's going to make it so that we can live for another, so that we can put somebody else before us, because we know what it is for somebody to put themselves before us. And we know what it is for him to take that cross for us, for something we didn't deserve. He can help us stand tall. He can help us have faith. It's when we get our eyes fixed on God that things begin to happen. Verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know, he came to realize that he wasn't worthy to be his father's son. But yet even his servants have it better than he had it. His servants had enough to eat. They weren't looking to eat pig slop. They've got bread to eat. It says when he came to himself, you know, it implies that he was being influenced by something. You know, often the enemy tries to drag us down so far that we can't even think straight, Brother Ryan. He wants to tell you that you're too messed up. You're too bad. You're too sick. You're too far from God to ever go back to him. He'll lie to you over and over and over and over. And we believe him. He'll tell you that God wouldn't even take you back if you went back. Why even try? It's no use. But it's times like that we must remember that we've got a Heavenly Father that loves us. We're never too far gone. Jesus didn't come to save the perfect people. He didn't come to heal people that were already healed. He came to save sinners. He came to save messed up people. He came to save people that went off. They made mistakes. They look for him. You know, verse 20, this is my favorite verse of the whole story. It says he arose and he came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. He ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. You know, I don't think it was happenstance that his father saw him a far way off. I don't think that his father, you know, went about his business for however long he was gone and then just one day glanced over his shoulder like, oh, look, there my son comes. I don't think it was that way at all. I think he had to be looking for him every day. He was anticipating his return. He's saying, maybe this will be the day that my son comes home. I think every chance he got, he's looking in the distance down that road saying, man, I hope he comes back today. I hope I see him coming around the corner. He was waiting, watching. After the father ran to him, the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father, he said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Not just a robe, the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. He's saying, I want to make sure that he's cared for. He's messed up from being out in the world and being out doing this degrading labor, and let's clean him up. Let's help him. It says, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You know, we've got a heavenly Father that's just like that. He's looking for you tonight. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. He cares for you. You can be at the bottom of the pit, walking around in the pig slop. He still cares for you. It doesn't matter where you're at. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. His grace and his mercy is without end. He wants to wrap his arms around you, and he wants to show you that he loves you. The music would come tonight. You know, just as the Father did in the story, God will run to you too, and he'll embrace you. He wants to enthrone us in his glory. First, we've got to look to him. You know, he's not gonna run to you and embrace you if you've got your eyes fixed on something else, Brother Ryan. And honestly, if he tried, you might not even notice he was there. Because like you said, when Brother Raleigh was moving around, the phone never moved, but you couldn't tell that Raleigh had either. We've got to shut out all the distraction. You know, shut out the cares of life. And I don't mean that we completely abandon those things, because some of those things we need to pay attention to, because we just go through life without caring about anything. That's not going to end really well either. But God will help you get your priorities where they need to be. He'll help you to have faith in the battle. You know, when you're going through those things that are dragging you down and seem like they're trying to turn you away from him, he'll help you.
Yes.
That's only going to happen when we make Jesus our first priority. If you'd stand tonight. You might be here tonight and you say, you know, that's me. I feel like I'm too far gone. I've made a lot of mistakes. Maybe you never even had a relationship with the Father. But if you'll run to him, he'll run to you. If that's you tonight, would you just step out? We'll use these steps as an altar. If you'll look to God tonight, he's going to wrap his arms around you. Maybe tonight you're here and you say, you know, I've been kind of glancing the wrong way. I've got some things that have been kind of distracting me, that have been taking my eyes off of Jesus. You know, he's looking for you too. He can help make God your first priority tonight. But you got to look to him. Church, if you want to make Jesus your number one priority, you want to, no matter what it is you're going through, you want to look to him. You know, he can help you with whatever you need tonight. We don't need to look anywhere else. Could we just come find a place to pray tonight, and Lord, just ask that he would help to make himself our first priority tonight.